Good morning. The summit of Mauna Kea in Hawaii is home to some of the biggest and the best telescopes in the world. And I watched a program on TV this week where astronomers were using one of these absolutely amazing instruments to study the atmospheres of some of the very latest planets to have been discovered and observed. And on one planet, it actually rains rubies, would you believe? And on another, diamonds. And it just brought to my mind the sermon that we heard from Clive last week about the awesomeness of God. That reality of God that we only see in small part. And that sermon to me kind of conjured up this image of a telescope, looking through a telescope. I know they don't kind of look down an eyepiece on these huge ones. It's all sort of done onto computer screens. But the principles are the same. We peer into that small part, if you like, that small end, through the lens, and we glimpse the hugeness of God and the universe he created. And we heard through the Psalms, the Psalm last week, of this vast glory of God written across the sky and how that inspires our worship. And then this morning the Psalm voices the little bit, the struggle of David. Because today the process is kind of reversed down to the small. We kind of did the huge, and today we're coming right down to the small, our individual lives. And let's face it, our present reality is often not a blaze of glory, but one of struggle. And so I'm going to continue in our series on prayer and looking at prayer through struggle. I bet you can't wait to hear this. Just when you thought you were having a good day. No, it's good news. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. So that's wise advice from James, who knows from experience that the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And I love the fact that James says that Elijah was as human as we are. You know, Elijah, the great prophet who, you know, was held in such reverence by those to whom he was writing. As human as we are. Just an ordinary man. Now, there are a gazillion books, booklets, blogs, courses, and more written about prayer. But, you know, sometimes nothing beats the example of, you know, just someone else. Someone else just like us, as human as we are. And that supreme example is Jesus, of course, who, remember, became just like us and dwelt among us for that period in time, just human, just as we are. And we read many times in Scripture that Jesus prayed. He would rise early and go to a solitary place to pray, or he would withdraw from the crowds who followed him to be with his Father. The problem with that is, we don't actually know what he said. Most of our prayers are private, aren't they? Just between us and God. But we do have some examples. And I think the most powerful of all is the time when Jesus struggled the most. I'm talking about Gethsemane. On that fateful night when he went out into the garden, knowing full well what was to happen to him. When the fulfillment of the prophecies surrounding his death was starting to be played out, he prayed like never before. Except perhaps maybe that time he spent in the wilderness being tempted. And he struggled in prayer. He agonized until it said that sweat fell from his head in great blobs like blood onto the ground. And although we're told that his friends couldn't stay awake with him, at least one of his friends had stayed awake long enough to hear what he said. I wonder if you remember. He said, "Let this cup be taken from me." You know, it was maybe just less than an hour before that he had taken a cup of wine and said to his closest friends, "You know, this represents the new covenant between God and man that will come about by the shedding of my blood." And yes, just like us, he asked, "Let this cup be taken from me." It was only as the agonizing struggle between flesh and spirit subsided, and I think we can recognize ourselves that. I doubt there are not many of us here who haven't experienced a situation where we've said to God, "You know, will you just take me out of this situation? Will you take this struggle away from me?" And it's that anguishing tension between flesh and spirit, what we know is right, perhaps, and what we want, that Jesus came to the point where he could say, "But not my will, but yours," to his Father. Now, Christians sometimes feel guilty about having struggles. I don't know why we should feel guilty about it. Are we not human? Did Jesus not have struggles? But I think we've perhaps been sold a Christianity that's a bit shallow and a bit glossy on the front, and that we are to rejoice in all things and wear this fake smile all the time. I don't know. But we do feel guilty about having struggles. Take, for example, my comparatively very minor experience when 2 weeks ago I was burgled. I had to struggle with the emotions of having had a stranger go through the drawers and cupboards of my bedroom. The belief for the first 24 hours that my mother's wedding rings had been taken. Praise God, I found them. The fear that the burglars might come back. The foolishness of having told my son-in-law to just pop the key through the letterbox after he'd been at my house after I'd gone away. The fact that Mike and I were in the midst of dealing with some crises with our elderly dads at the time. And did what I say I feel about material possessions actually stand up when some of them had been taken from me? And how should I feel about those who have committed this act? And there has been a struggle. But I realized that God was in the struggle. You know, if we grappled with it together. And it's fine. I'm fine, by the way. We're fine. God is in the struggle if we let him in. And that requires being both honest with ourselves and honest with him. Being human. And going back to that telescope analogy, I've been listening to some talks recorded by a chap called Wayne Jacobson entitled Jesus the Lens, in which he advocates actually reading scripture through the perspective or lens of Jesus. And of course, like in a telescope, the purpose of a lens is actually to focus light. The Jesus lens brings light to focus down, sometimes into the darkest places. You know how you can eventually start a fire? You might have done it as a child, I know I did. When you focus a strong light through a magnifying glass, you know, onto some leaves or something, you know, you get the sun lined up and you wait till it smoulders away. Have you? There's some terribly innocent faces out there looking as if, don't know what you mean. Well, when I heard about this, I had to give it a go. But, you know, it's like if you hold your nerve in a situation and you just keep holding that lens there, then eventually, you know, the Jesus lens comes to bear and you reach a point where he burns out that darkness. And you come to that point when you can say, thy will be done. Sometimes, however, the struggle can be so great that we can't do that. We can't pray for ourselves. And I have had those times in my life. And James writes, well, that's the time to call in the elders. They're not like a kind of superhero squad who come flying in necessarily, because all of our prayers are valid. But we celebrate All Saints Day today. And it's at such times that this is when the saints really do come in handy. I'm talking about the living saints. I know that in the Roman Catholic tradition, saints are revered and used as intercessors. But here I'm talking about the living saints. When the struggle is just too great for us to cope with, too much to handle on our own, that's when the faith of our friends really does come into play. And after a terrible time in my own life, a truly terrible time, these words from St. Paul eventually really resonated. I say eventually because at the time it was too difficult. But Paul wrote, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favour granted us in answer to the prayers of many. And I know that many prayed for me, and those prayers eventually won out. And I got to the point where I could be thankful because their prayers had got us through. And so I think struggling in prayer, more than anything else, is about honesty. It's honesty with ourselves about our human response to situations. The honesty to admit when we can't manage alone. The desire for an honest dialogue with God. And the desire to reach a point where we can accept God's will in that situation. Jesus said, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son of Man can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Thanks be to God.